We are thrilled that you joined us today. The message you're about to hear is filled with the life-changing power of God's Word. We would love for you to share with us how God has impacted your life through this message. Visit us at riverrochester.com or attend any of our services at the River Church in Brockport, New York. Thanks again for joining us, and we hope that you enjoy today's message.
In Joshua chapter 1, in verse 8, you might be familiar with this verse by now, but I want you to say this after me. Say, "This book of the law shall not depart from my mouth, but I shall meditate in it day and night, that I may observe to do according to all that is written in it. For then I will make my way prosperous, and then I will have good success." Hallelujah. It's hard to read that without smiling. Amen. God is just so good. Hallelujah. Is anyone not here last Sunday? Raise your hand for me. Just a few guys. All right. Well, last Sunday we began a new series, and so I'll probably start by recapping just a little bit for any of those that weren't here and even for those of us that were here. We began a new series that I'm sharing on the Holy Spirit this whole month. The baptism of the Holy Spirit, the infilling of the Holy Spirit, being filled with the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the gift of the Spirit, all of that is what we're discussing this month. And so I think it's one of the most important subjects to discuss for New Testament believers. So that's what we're going to do here today. Now, last week, I began by saying that we are a Spirit-filled, Word-filled, faith-filled church. And it's interesting that sometimes those things don't all go together. And I also explained a little bit that as a pastor of a church, I have to discuss a variety of subjects. Faith, prayer, raising godly children, marriage, prosperity, finances, healing, all these different things. So not every Sunday is a Sunday where we take to preach on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that we're any less of a Holy Spirit filled church. We're absolutely a Spirit-filled church, and we believe in the gifts of the Holy Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit, the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We're all about it. And so I was praying last Sunday morning about what to share about this month, and that's what the Lord put on my heart. And so we're taking this month to talk about the Holy Spirit, who He is, because it's a He. He is a person, the third person of the Trinity, of the Godhead. And so we are a Word-filled church combined with a Spirit-filled church. And when I was growing up in the area, it seemed like that was kind of rare. It seemed like you kind of found one or the other, where it was like we're all Word, but we don't allow for the Holy Spirit to move here. We don't allow for speaking in tongues or the gifts of the Spirit. Or we believe in the Holy Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, the moving of the Holy Spirit, but the Word is dry. And so let's just focus on, let's all just having a good time in the Holy Spirit. Let's all come down to the altar, pray for each other, prophesy to each other, lay hands on everyone, anything that you can. Let's all fall down, stand up, sit down, get up, run around the room, jump up and down. But God forbid that we have any Word. And part of that was because, you know, maybe some of the ministers ministering the Word didn't really know how to do it. I don't know, but growing up, that's kind of the way it was. And so I knew, though, that there had to be something where the Word and the Spirit work together. Because if you look through the New Testament, and this is one of the things that we're going to get into today, is that the Holy Spirit works in conjunction with the Word of God, that signs and wonders follow the preaching of the Word. So how can you have it where the Word is dry, and when you just preach the Word, that, man, that was just like a dry service, or then you have a service where, you know, it's all just Holy Spirit, and everything is just crazy and going nuts, and no Word went forth? Well, how does that work? You see, I think that there has to be the Word working, the Spirit and the Word working together. And so that's what I've always endeavored to do, is to have a church where people can build their lives on the foundation of the Word of God and then be filled with the Holy Spirit. and be led by the Holy Spirit. Because, you know, even though I have a book in the Bible, not everyone here does, you know? So, you know, I mean, I can go, whenever I have questions about what God wants me to do, I can just go to my book and read it, you know? A few of you others here, you might have your own book too, but for the rest of you guys, you got to figure this thing out on your own, and that's not really fair. And so we have the Holy Spirit that can lead us and guide us in the matters of life. Not just, you know, not just for what's in the Word, because there's the principles that we live by and learn by from the Word, but then there's things about, like, well, who do I marry? Where do I live? What do I do? What car do I buy? These kinds of things, and the Holy Spirit can help us in these things. He can even help us in our prayer life, right? So there's many different things that the Holy Spirit comes to do, and so we have to have the Holy Spirit in our life. So if it ever comes to a point where we're just all word, and we're, you know, we don't ever allow the Holy Spirit to touch people, to fill people, for people to have an encounter with God and have their lives radically changed by the presence and the power of God, well then, you know, we've missed something there too. And so we do it all here. You know, we're a full gospel church. We believe in all of it. And if we believe in all of it, we should practice all of it. Amen? To the best of our ability, as the Holy Spirit leads us. And I mentioned last week that there's different ministers, different ministries, different giftings, different things that God has called different people to do. And so it's not a matter of, well, so and so, this pastor does it this way, or this evangelist says it this way, or this, you know, it doesn't mean that any of them are wrong. You can all do things the way that God has called you to do and be exactly right. And so I'm just out here doing what I feel God has called me to do. And so, you know, you maybe are from a different church, or maybe you grew up in a different church, and maybe they did things differently there. That's awesome, and praise God for that. And they were probably exactly right in the way that they did it, as they were being led by the Holy Spirit. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to do it the same way here. And so I'm just looking to follow the Lord and the leading of His Holy Spirit and do exactly what He wants us to do here at this church, at this local body, because I know I'm an odd breed, you know? I'm not the average guy. You know, I'm different. The way I see things is probably different than the way most people see things, and that used to bother me. I used to go to the Word and be like, you know, how is so-and-so, how do they get away with living this kind of lifestyle or doing this thing or that thing and, you know, preaching the Word this way? And I used to wonder about it, but, you know, I realized, hey, I'm just different. I do things the way that, you know, God leads me to do them. And so that's what's awesome about the body of Christ, is that we're members of the body individually, that God has all put His plans and His purpose in each of us as individuals, and we can all be unique, and we can all still get along, we can all still be friends, we can all still seek Jesus together. Amen? Amen. And so we're seeking the presence of God. We should be every month. It's not just on the month of the Holy Spirit that we seek the Holy Spirit, right? It's not like, well, 11 months of the year, you know, we don't worry about the Holy Spirit. No, it's something that we're continually doing. Just like, you know, the month of prayer, I emphasize on praying, but that doesn't mean for 11 months out of the year we stop praying. Or the month of confession. We take that month to do our confessions, and then the rest of the month, or the rest of the year, 11 months of the year, we don't have to worry about doing our confessions of our faith. You know, none of it's going to work unless it becomes a consistent part of our life. So the baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues, the ministry of the Holy Spirit, seeking the Holy Spirit, it's something that we do all year long, not just in the month of the Holy Spirit. Amen?
Amen.
Hallelujah. So who should receive the Holy Spirit? Well, in Mark 16:7, we covered this last week. It says, "And these signs should follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues." Who's he talking about there? The believers. These signs will follow those who believe. So as new believers, we're to speak in new tongues. Well, how are we going to speak in new tongues if we don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit? And some people thought that just meant, well, you're going to learn new languages quickly. Others thought it meant, well, that just means that you don't talk like the sinner that you used to be. You stop cussing, you stop, you know, you clean up your language, and that's the new tongues. But that just doesn't make any sense, that there's five things here mentioned, and they're all supernatural except for new tongues. Well, that wouldn't make any sense at all. These are all supernatural things that are being discussed in the Great Commission. And then we talked about, how do we get the Holy Spirit? And in Luke 11:13, this is very important. Even though we're recapping, I was going to read this verse again today anyway. Luke 11:13. "If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more," say more, will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? How much more will your heavenly Father give to those who ask him? God doesn't have a hard time getting the Holy Spirit to people. People have a hard time receiving what God is trying to give them. The problem isn't on God's end. God says in his word, how much more will he give his Holy Spirit to those who do what? Ask him. Well, maybe that's part of the problem. Have we asked him? Have we sought for him? Have we prayed to God and said, Father God, I receive your Holy Spirit and the baptism of the Holy Spirit. You know, so maybe it's not on God, you know, because you find people that have been, quote, tarrying. If you've been around for a while in the church, maybe you know someone who's been tarrying for 50 years, waiting on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Well, the good news is that you don't have to tarry anymore. You see, Jesus told the disciples in the early church, go into Jerusalem and tarry, wait for the Holy Spirit. But guess what? Pentecost happened 50 days after Jesus went to the cross. So we don't have to tarry anymore. They did the tarrying, but we don't have to. We're living in the dispensation of the move of the Holy Spirit. So we don't have to wait. We simply have to believe. Just like we don't have to wait to get saved. If you're here and you're not saved, if you're not born again, you don't have to wait anymore. The Bible says that if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that he was raised from the dead, you will be saved. You don't have to wait. You don't have to wait for the Holy Spirit either, because he's been poured out. Jesus went to his Father in heaven. He ascended into heaven. And he said that if I go, then I will send him. And he went and he sent him on the day of Pentecost. And so now we have the precious Holy Spirit here with us today. It's a matter of us simply receiving. And the biggest thing that stops us from receiving is what? Is that noodle sitting on top of your neck. Some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Well, if you ever see a brain, it kind of looks like spaghetti, right? Okay, I know. You're like, why does he call it a noodle? But, yeah, it's our mind. Our mind is our biggest obstacle to the things of the Spirit. Because your mind isn't meant to comprehend all the things of the Spirit. Your mind is to help you so you can lace your shoelaces in the morning. Or if you don't feel like it, you do like me and you get these things where you just slip them on. You know, not really that complicated. Make it easy on myself. But, you know, our mind is to help us walk across the street without getting hit by a car. So our mind is good and it's useful. God has given it to us. But it's not for receiving the things of the Spirit. Now, I believe that the further you go with God, the more you receive from God, the more you're in His Word and receiving from His Word, the closer you come to having the mind of God. The Bible even says that we can have the mind of Christ. So it's less and less our mind and our senses that we're living by, but rather living by the Spirit. But in general, our spirit man is where we're to be led by. But how are we going to be led by our spirit if we're not even baptized in the Holy Spirit? So our mind tries to stop us from the things of the Spirit. I mentioned last week that even me, after being filled with the Holy Spirit and speaking in tongues for 13 years, I was 18 years old, and the first time I really encountered the Holy Spirit was when I was just about to turn 14 years old. And I spoke about that last week, about why I didn't speak in tongues for those first few years and how I got past that through teaching of the Word of God. But so, for 13 years, I've been praying in tongues. And still, when I go to pray in tongues, my mind tells me you're nuts. Driving down the road this morning to church, praying in tongues, my mind tells me you're just jibber-jabbering. You're just making this stuff up. And you know what I do? I just keep praying. Because I don't care what my mind tells me. I'm not trying to live the life of just my mind. I know my mind is there to help me with certain things, but I also know that my mind is living primarily in the realm of reason, in the realm of the senses. So I don't really care. If I cared about that, I wouldn't be born again. I explained that last week. Because really, if I lived in the realm of the mind, I wouldn't believe that because a man died for me on a cross 2,000 some years ago, that I'm going to spend an eternity in heaven. That's just totally ridiculous, right? But so we're not living the realm of the mind. We're living by the Spirit. And when I pray, the Bible says that my inner man, that I am edified, that my spirit man is built up. And so we're to live this Spirit-filled life from the Spirit. And so we pray in tongues to build up our spirit. And I'm going to get more into tongues specifically in the next couple weeks. But today, again, I'm going to be focusing on the baptism, the infilling of the Holy Spirit. But so if God has given us His Holy Spirit, He has poured Him out on the day of Pentecost, and He says in His Word that how much more does He want to give His children good gifts, the Holy Spirit? How much more? Well, then the hang-up isn't with God, the hang-up is with us. And so if you're here this morning and you've never been filled or baptized in the Holy Spirit or spoken in tongues, today is your day. You don't have to leave here, this place, you don't have to leave this place this morning without speaking in tongues. Now, I love it. People, they come and they hear a message like this and they leave the service and then it's Tuesday morning or Wednesday night or Friday morning or whatever day, and all of a sudden they've been meditating on the Word of God and they take action on it and they just start speaking in tongues. They're driving on the road, they start speaking in tongues. You don't have to get it here, but you can. You can get it wherever you want. You can do like Charles Finney did and go out to the woods and have an encounter with God. It doesn't matter where you are. It matters about where your heart is, right? The geography of your physical body. You can go to Jerusalem, lay hands on the Wailing Wall, write a little prayer thing, wear a prayer shawl, and stuff your prayer note into the wall and believe that that had some sort of, it's like a, some sort of a mailbox directly into heaven, you know? You can go down under the wall, you know, explore it, and be like, well, now, surely this is where the Lord's temple was. Surely this is where I'll receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And not get it. Or maybe get it. It doesn't matter where you are, you see? It matters where your heart is. Did you all come hungry for the Lord this morning?
Yes.
I'm not so sure. I hope we're going to get there, though. Some of you guys look like you just rolled out of bed. You all awake this morning?
Yes.
All right. Lord, we got some work here this morning to do. Well, I hope by the end of this service that you're fired up and filled with the Holy Spirit, baptized in the Spirit, stirred by the Spirit, and ready to go out there and kick the devil in the teeth. Amen?
Amen.
Let's go to John chapter 14. You see, the Word and the Spirit go together. They're not two separate things. It's not like, well, the Holy Spirit's trying to have a service this morning, but then, you know, the pastor decided to preach the Word, and so the Holy Spirit couldn't move. That's a bunch of BS. Or you can just go talk to Peter and tell him that he screwed up when he went to Cornelius' house. Peter, you should have just gone there and let the Holy Spirit move. I don't know what you were preaching for. He was preaching and the Holy Spirit fell and they all were filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues. So it's not like we have to have, okay, this is our designated word portion of the service. Right now you all need to be somber. Be very intellectual. You need to be just, you know, thinking about what I'm saying. And then later at the end, I'll do an altar call. So that's when you guys know that you're able to receive from the Holy Spirit, right? Peter, in the middle of his sermon, the Holy Spirit fell. Hopefully I have time to get there so we can read it. But in the middle of Peter sharing these things, the Holy Spirit fell. So guess what? You don't have to sit there waiting for the time when I'm going to give an altar call. Sometimes I don't even like to give an altar call because I want you to not feel like it was because you got up out of your seat and walked down here. Right here is where the Holy Spirit is. When you line up like this, the Holy Spirit is here just as much as he is right where you are. Did you know that? But sometimes it's like, no, we have to do this thing. We have to stand up and get out of our seat and come down here because down here is where the Spirit of the Lord is. No, no, he's not. He's not here any more than he is under the wailing wall as he is under your seat right there or above your seat or wherever you are. It's about your heart. It's not about, you know, the portion of the service that's designated for receiving from the Lord. Right now is that time of the service. Whenever you decide to get good and hungry, maybe even close your eyes. You don't have to. There's nothing about, you know, you don't have to close your eyes to receive from the Lord, but you can. Sometimes it just helps tune everything else out. But you can receive from the Lord whenever you want. But the Holy Spirit, he won't force himself on you. He never will. Jesus didn't force one single one of you to get saved. And the Holy Spirit isn't going to force one of you to speak in tongues. And that's what I mentioned last week was my problem. I thought that God was going to make me speak in tongues. I kept wondering, why don't I speak in tongues? And God probably was wondering, why don't you speak in tongues? And I was thinking, but God, you're going to make me speak in tongues. You're going to and make the words come up out of my mouth, you know? And I kept waiting for him to do it until finally, like I say, I was taught. You have to take action on the word. You have to believe God in faith. You have to receive it and then do something with it. And time again, I felt the words there, but I thought, well, you know, the Lord is going to make me do it, so if he didn't make me do it, I'm not going to do it. You see, the challenge isn't for the person giving the gift. The challenge, when you go to give a gift, all you do is you hold it out there. Your work is done. I'm giving this gift to you. Then the work goes to who? The person receiving. They have to go over. They have to take it. They have to unwrap it. They have to open it up and assemble it or whatever it is that you're getting. But the person receiving it has to take it. And so God said, I want to give you the Holy Spirit. I have it for those of you that ask of me, how much more will I give him to you? It's just a matter of us asking and taking him and receiving him. Amen? Amen. Okay, so John 14. I think I mentioned go to John 14. Are you there? The Word and the Spirit, they go together. Verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. What's another way of saying keep my commandments? Obey, yep. How about be a doer of the word? If you love me, be a doer of the word. You can say it like that, right? And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper. Now, the word helper there is really the Greek word paraclete, which is translated helper, comforter, the one called alongside to help, the Holy Spirit. Right? So he will give us another helper, talking about the Holy Spirit, that he may abide with you forever, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you. I will not leave you orphans, I will come to you. So right there we see that Jesus died for the world. For who? The world. So the world can receive Jesus, but the world, says here, doesn't receive the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. So there's a way of doing this. You go out and you share the gospel with someone, they get saved, and then they can receive the Holy Spirit. But as believers, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth, is promised to us. You see, and I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper, that he may abide with you forever. But how does this passage start off? This passage about Jesus praying to the Father and him giving us another helper, giving us the Holy Spirit. If you love me, do what? Obey the word. obey the commandments, be a doer of the word. So it's not this thing of the word is over here and the Holy Spirit is over here. They're together. When you do the word, if you love me, obey my commandments. He starts out this passage talking about, if you love me, be a doer of the word, and I will pray, and he will give you another helper. You see, so the word and the spirit, they go together. The Holy Spirit works with the word, not in place of the word. The Holy Spirit works with the word, not in place of the word. And why am I making a big distinction about this? Well, because I know enough charismatic Pentecostal weirdos out there that are great at the things of the Spirit, but they're totally stark raving nuts. And they're weird. And they claim to be these uber ultra spiritual Christians, but really, they just don't have any word in them. And they're not doing the word. You see, only seeking experiences can and probably will lead you into errors. Because believers don't follow signs. Signs follow believers. But what do we have today? We have a lot of believers seeking signs. Oh, did you hear the Lord's moving over here? Let's all go. Oh, the Lord's going to move over there. Let's all go. Well, the Lord can move right here. Did you know that the Lord in His Word says that where two or three of us are gathered in His name, where is He? In our midst. He's here this morning. He's here moving this morning. But it's up to us collectively to stir ourselves up, to get hungry, to be wanting to receive, to be coming to service ready to receive, not thinking about the Bills game or the crock pot or any of that. But that we come, hey, we're not going to church because this is just what we do on Sunday mornings. We're coming to church because we're coming ready to receive. We're coming because we're going to get filled up this morning. Amen? So the Holy Spirit works with the Word. If you love me, keep my commandments. So we're not to go around just following signs, following experiences. And I love experiences with the Lord. I've had many of them. I've fallen down on the ground many times. I've also cried many times. I've laughed many times. Occasionally, rare moments. I might even like jump up and down or shout. Those are unusual because of my very reserved nature. But if the Lord's really, you know, I mean, hey, I'm not opposed to it. I'll do whatever. But some people are like, well, the Lord moved and He touched me and I got filled with the Holy Spirit and I cried. So now anytime I feel the Holy Spirit, I have to cry. Other people, they laughed. And so every time the Holy Spirit comes or where they're sensing the presence of God, they feel like they have to laugh. Or maybe fall down or maybe stand up or maybe sit down or maybe one thing or another. But you see, it doesn't really matter because those are all just manifestations. Those are all just experiences. So we don't seek the experience. We don't seek the sign, but we seek the one who gives the signs. We seek the one who is giving it out. We just seek Jesus. We just get hungry and thirsty for Him. I promise you, if you're at home in your bedroom and you just cry out to God and you say, Jesus, I just want more of you. I want more of your presence. I want to get to know you more. If you just get hungry for Him, or in a church service like this one right here this morning, or driving down the road and you have a worship song, as soon as you get hungry for Him, what does He do? He shows up because His Word says that if you draw near to me, He will draw near to you. So we can't just have this religious mindset of coming to church and that was a very spiritual service and that was a very Spirit-filled service and then this one over here, well, we just heard from the Word of God and the Spirit didn't really move. How do you know? Because the Spirit works with the Word. They're the same. Jesus was the Word. It's almost like insulting to say that, well, we had the Word, but we didn't have the Holy Spirit. The Word was preached. Now, granted, I understand that there's sometimes, you know, some places, I don't know, wherever you go, where you can sit down and someone can preach the Word of God, and it just sounds like a math class, and there is no Spirit. But I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about where, well, and I'm sorry, math nerds, if you're out there, you know, I don't mean to be offensive, but everyone else knows math is just lame, okay? But, you know, so it's not like there has to be this thing where, you know, where it's like this was an exciting Spirit-filled service and then this one was just a word service. No, we should always be ready to receive. There's been times where just during a sermon that's being preached, I receive more revelation, I receive more answers, I receive the key to my breakthrough than I've been waiting for, than the times where I was sobbing, crying, laughing, falling down, jumping up and down, and I receive it just from the Holy Spirit illuminating to my heart. And what is it that we're really all about? We're all about living the life more abundantly that God has called us to live. And whether that comes from a word from the Lord, or whether that comes from reading His Bible, whether that comes from His presence, you know? Who cares? Who cares how it comes, but it comes. So let's just get all of it. Let's just be hungry for the Lord however He wants to minister to us. He wants to minister to you this morning. He wants to minister to you right now. He wants to minister to you tomorrow morning and tomorrow night too. And no matter what, even on the job, you can be receiving from the Lord. He's always there with you. It's just a matter of you drawing near to Him. You make the decision in your heart right now, tomorrow morning, tomorrow night, this week, next month. You make the decision, I'm drawing near to you, Lord. Come touch me. I'm hungry for you. I need more of you. Amen? I explained how a few weeks ago, scraping paint off my floor, listening to a sermon, no worship on, no nothing crazy, just the word being preached, I start crying because the Lord is touching me. Why? Because the word connects with my heart and I'm drawing close to the Lord. You can have that here this morning. You can have it tonight. You can have it in your car. You can have it wherever you are. It's up to you. So we can't have this mentality of, well, you know, Pastor Jeremiah, he they're a Spirit-filled church, but they're just kind of too much word. What does that mean, too much word? Jesus is the Word. Is that too much Jesus? Dear Lord. I don't understand it. If the Word is going forth, it's the Word. It's Him. He confirms His Word. He confirms the preaching of His Word. He comes to hungry hearts. He doesn't come based on how good the sermon was. All the sermon is trying to do is trying to get you to seek after God in whatever area of life that the Word is going forth about. Hallelujah. I mean, there's some of you here this morning, right now, that are being filled up. Right now, putting the demand on the Lord, putting the demand on the anointing, just like that woman with the issue of blood, that she went up and she touched the hem of Jesus' garment. There was a crowd full of people there. Any single one of them could have said, I'm going to reach out and touch His garment and I'm going to get my miracle for whatever they needed. But one did. One, not the whole crowd. One lady. And Jesus knew that power had gone out from Him. He knew that virtue had gone out because that one woman didn't want to remain in her situation anymore. She didn't want life as usual. She didn't want the same old, same old. She wanted more from God. She wanted the life more abundantly. And she decided right then and there, there's Jesus. He's got what I want. I'm going to get it. I need it right now. And she reached out and she took it. Amen. And that's what we can do today. The great thing is that Jesus, He said it's to our advantage if He goes away, because then He can send us the Holy Spirit. Because imagine if Jesus was on the earth today, everyone would have to be flying all over the world to Jerusalem. Go, where's Jesus today? We got to go find Him. But we don't have to this morning. He's right here in our midst. Right here in this room. Right here is the presence of the Lord. You don't have to wait. You can receive right now. Hallelujah. You know, and there's nothing wrong with doing an altar call. You know, I do altar calls. Sometimes the altar call just helps people kind of snap out of it and be like, all right, stop just sitting there thinking. Get up, come down here, and start thinking about the Lord. But ultimately, like I said, there's nothing special about this space versus that space. Altar calls are great, but you don't need to wait for one. That's what I'm trying to get to you. Laying hands on people is great, but you don't have to wait for hands to be laid on you. What do you have to wait for? Nothing. Tarrying is over. Pentecost happened. He's here in the room today. Hallelujah. I feel His presence right now. He's here. And even if I didn't feel His presence, guess what? He's still here, because I don't walk by feelings. I walk by faith. Believing the Word of God is so. Believing that when God said that He sent His Holy Spirit, that He meant it, that His Holy Spirit is here. So I don't have to wait until I feel goose pimples on my skin. I don't have to wait until my hair is standing up on the back of the neck or until a tear is dripping down my cheek. I don't have to wait for a feeling. I just lay hold of the Holy Spirit by faith. He's here. He's here right now. And He always is. He's always there for you, just waiting for you to reach out to Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. I thank you for filling each and every single vessel here this morning. Father, I thank you that you're filling them up even right now, filling them with your presence. We're hungry. We're thirsty. We want more of you, Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus, I thank you that you're here in our midst this morning through the presence of your Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Working together with the Word. Working with the Word. Hallelujah. These things I have spoken to you, verse 25, while being present with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. Now, what do we call the things that Jesus said to us? The Word, right? So what does the Holy Spirit come to do? One of the things, there's a bunch of them, but one of the things is He comes to bring to remembrance the Word of Jesus, the Word of God. He works with the Word. Notice He didn't say He will send the Holy Spirit to make you fall down. He sends the Holy Spirit to bring to remembrance all things that He said to you. And why do people fall down anyway? Because they can't stand up. There's no big deal to it. You know, if you want to stand, sit, lie down, whatever you want. I don't care. But just receive the Holy Spirit. Amen? There's been times in a service where I just felt like, I don't know why, this is really random or whatever, but I just feel like I need to kneel down. And I did kneel down, and it's like kneeling straight into the presence of God, and His presence overwhelms me. And there's other times where I thought, well, the last time I kneeled down, that was pretty awesome. God's power hit me pretty good, so I'll just do it again right now. And nothing happens, because it's not about the kneeling. It's about just being sensitive to the Holy Spirit. It's about following what He wants you to do. So the Holy Spirit, the Helper, the One whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to remembrance all things that I said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. You see, the Spirit comes to teach us all things, to bring to remembrance the Word of God, all the things that I have said to you. The Spirit works with the Word, not to take away from the Word. Not to have a Word part of the service, not to have a Spirit part of the service, but He comes to work with the Word. You see, when I preach the Word, I'm just trying to share what God has put on my heart to share. And it's the Holy Spirit that illuminates that Word to individuals' hearts so that it can connect, so that the Holy Spirit can make that Word not the Word of Jeremiah, but your Word. You can't going around saying, well, I believe this because Jeremiah said that. No, it has to become your Word, the Word of God to you, in order for it to have any power in your life. In order for it to make a difference, it has to become the Word of God, not the Word of so-and-so. The Word of God. You know, and it was very unfortunate when I was a teenager. I had a scripture from 2 Corinthians. Let's go there. 2 Corinthians chapter 3. I had this scripture that was spoken to me, and maybe not to me directly, I don't remember, but just in general, I remember hearing this taught. And I'll read this from the Amplified, 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 4. Such is the reliance and confidence that we have through Christ toward the reference to God. Not that we are fit, qualified, and sufficient in ability of ourselves to form personal judgments or to claim or count anything as coming from us, but our power and ability and sufficiency are from God. It is He who has qualified us, making us to be fit and worthy sufficient as ministers and dispensers of a new covenant, of salvation through Christ, not ministers of the letter, of the legally written code, but of the Spirit. For the code of the law kills, but the Holy Spirit makes alive. You see, when I was a teenager, and maybe not in the Amplified, I had it told to me many times, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. And so I remember that being told to me many, many times. And I remember thinking to myself, well, that just means that, well, the word is just dry because it's the letter of the law and the letter kills. And so, well, you know, my parents are laying my Bible on my bed every night, but they don't know anything. They're just parents. You know, it's the Holy Spirit that matters, not the word. You know, forget the word. I got the Holy Spirit. I just need another encounter. I just need another touch. I just need another cry. I just need another fall down. I just need another experience. And so, because that to me was the Spirit, you know, and then this was the letter of the law. And so, you know, we can't have, you know, this is just law and this is just boring. And so I remember just thinking, like, you know, I want more spirit, but like this, the law, the letter, it kills. But that's wrong. That's not even what he's talking about here. He's talking about the Old Testament commands. He's talking about the fact that the Old Testament, as necessary as it was, nobody ever got saved because of the Old Testament. Nobody could get born again until Jesus came and died on Calvary's cross for us, and his blood was shed for us. You see, that's what he's talking about, that as awesome as the Old Testament was, it never got anybody born again with God. And so this is what he's talking about, the dispensation of the law, the dispensation of the letter, the Ten Commandments. It couldn't bring life, but Jesus came, and now we can have life. So, but people, you know, they told me that, well, this is the, you know, I'm beyond the Word of God because, you know, I have revelation outside of the Word because it's the Spirit that gives life. And so, so then when people come to me like that, and they say, well, you know, this is what I believe about, you know, whatever they're into or whatever. And I say, well, what about the Word? Because the Word says this, and the Word says this, and the Word says this. And then finally they drop, well, yeah, but, you know, God gave me greater revelation. And then I'm like, whoa, okay. We got some loonies out here. These guys are those stark raving nuts, ultra super spiritual Christians that have gone beyond the Word of God. And that's when the conversation ends. Okay, you don't care what the Word of God says. Well, see ya. We got nothing more to talk about. Because the Word works with the Spirit. The Spirit works with the Word. The Spirit will never contradict the Word. And He'll never give you revelation outside of the Word or anything that contradicts the Word. And so if we, you know, we don't have time really, but if we were to read this whole chapter, you would find out we can at least go to the end of this chapter because he talks about the glory that was under the Old Testament. And if you go to Exodus chapter 34, that's where you find Exodus. And he goes up and he's spending time in the presence with God and God gives him the Ten Commandments and that's where he receives the engraved tablets written on stone, which is what this was talking about. And he comes down from the mountain and when he comes down from the mountain, the people are there and they're like, we can't even look at him. So Moses had to put a veil on his face because his face was shining so bright that the people back then couldn't even look at it. But then Paul goes on here to say, when you get a second, read this chapter, he goes on to say, but he's like, we're not under that dispensation. We're not under that covenant. We're under the dispensation of grace. We're under the dispensation of the Holy Spirit where we can have all the presence of God. And if Moses had it back then under this Old Testament law that brought death, how much more abounding can we have the Holy Spirit under the dispensation of life? And we, guess what? We don't have to cover our face. I think it's even verse 18. Yeah, verse 18. And all of us, as with unveiled face. You see, we don't have to cover it up. We should be shining bright like the stars. We should be shining with the presence of God because we're so full of the presence of God, because we've been filled, because we've received the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and we're full of Him. To be filled with Him. Jesus said, when He was talking about the new birth in John chapter 4, He talked about a well of life on the inside of us. And that's the new birth experience. The well where, for me, I can reach down and I can draw water for myself. But then in John chapter 7, He talks about rivers of living water coming out of me. And that, He even says right there in the next verses following, I think it's verse 37 through 39. You can look it up, John 7. He says, and this He spoke of the Holy Spirit, which at that time they had not yet received. You see, when we receive the Holy Spirit, that's when we have these rivers of life, rivers of life, rivers of life flowing out of us, the Holy Spirit. As long as you're just born again, but you don't have the baptism of the Holy Spirit, yes, you're saved, yes, you'll go to heaven, yes, it's wonderful. You have this encounter with God, it's awesome, you can be saved, and it's a wonderful experience, and your life changes. But the baptism of the Holy Spirit comes so that we can be endued with power to become witnesses to share the gospel. And as we're sharing the gospel, and as we receive the gifts of the Spirit, and as we're laying hands on the sick, and as we're speaking in new tongues, and as we're doing what Jesus commanded in the New Testament, now rivers of life are flowing out of me. Rivers of life are flowing out of me. And you don't get that without the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So the word baptism, it's a Greek word. The word baptize, it's actually baptizo, I think. I mean, a terrible Greek accent. But that's like the Greek word. And it's called a transliteration, where they take it from one language and they just slap it over into the next language. They didn't even translate it. But if you were to look up that word baptizo in Greek, it actually means immerse or immersion. And so when we get baptized with the Holy Spirit, it's being immersed with the Holy Spirit. You know, if you go to Lake Ontario in like September, you know, and you go to the beach, it's like when the water's getting cold, starting to get cold, and you know, you have people that will come up to the edge of the water and they want to know, can I jump in or not? And they kind of like dabble their little toes and they're like, oh no, that's too cold. I'm not going in there. But then you have those crazy people that are like, oh, it's cold. And they just dive straight in. And you can tell, like, when they hit that water, man, their whole expression changes. It's like, whoa! I mean, if you ever jump into some cold water, it instantly, I mean, like, if you can dabble in and it's like, eh, it's kind of chilly, but I don't know. You know, I mean, I'm just good over here. You know, that was kind of cold enough for me. But when you jump in, man, it radically changes your perspective on how cold that water really is, because you've been immersed in it. And, you know, some people are dabbling with the Holy Spirit and they're like, yeah, I like a little bit of Holy Spirit. You know, I'm born again, and so I have some Holy Spirit, but that whole baptism in the Spirit and speaking in tongues and moving in the gifts of the Spirit, all that, you know, that's a little bit extreme. We're more the reserved type. We need some decency and order in here. Man, I'm telling you, jumping into the river of God, is being immersed in the power, the baptism of the Holy Spirit, where your life is radically changed, where everything that you thought you knew just all of a sudden changes because you have this radical encounter with the presence and the power of God. And though you used to hear about God and people used to tell you about Jesus and you used to believe it, but it was always kind of like, man, this stuff is cool, this stuff is interesting, and like I like it and I believe it, but it's like, how can this really be true? Man, when I'm telling you, when you jump in all the way and you get immersed and you you go all the way under, you instantly become a believer. Like, whoa, none of this stuff's really still, it doesn't still make sense to my mind, but I know it's real. I know it's true. I know that there's the power of God. You see, that's what happened to me. That's why I'm in the ministry today, because back when I was 13 years old, you know, I'd heard about the Bible. I heard about Jesus. I'd gone to Sunday school like a good Christian boy, and I heard it all. But it was never really real to me until I jumped in and let the Holy Spirit fill me. And so when you go from the baptism of sprinkling, let me just sprinkle some of you. Today we're going to do a sprinkling of Holy Spirit for some of you. It doesn't even make any sense because the word means immersion. Right. There is no debate. Do you believe in full immersion or do you believe in the baptism of sprinkling? It's not even a thing. Baptize means immerse. There is no debate. It's literally the word. Immerse, immersion, all the way under. There's no like dabbling. There's no sprinkling. So why do we do that with the Holy Spirit? We understand that when it comes to water baptism, you got to go all the way under. You know, every now and then when you're baptizing someone, you get someone that's kind of like trying to like, and you're like, get down under there. You put them down. You get your usher like, you know, if you just put them back under there, get them all the way down. You know, why? We get that with when it comes to baptism in water. But man, in the Holy Spirit, we should be doing the same thing. Hey, look, you've been dabbling long enough. Time to get under there. Get some Holy Spirit. Get the full baptism of the Holy Spirit. Stop playing around. Get all of Him. You can come to a Spirit-filled church your whole life and never really go all in. You can come to this church from this day until the day that either we go home to be with the Lord or Jesus comes back and never pray in tongues. Even if we have a really spiritual service, you can come and get or not get whatever you decide. But why? It's here. It's spread out on the table for you. Why not just receive? Why not just take it and be grateful? God said, "How much more will I give Him to those who ask of Him or desire Him?" Man, you have to desire. He's not going to give it to you unless you ask for it, and you won't ask for it unless you really desire it, Him. Unless you really desire Him. You're not going to speak in tongues unless you really desire it. You're not going to move in the Spirit unless you really desire it. And that's up to us. It's up to the temperature of our heart. It's up to us seeking after Him. Amen? Amen? Who cares about the experience? What happens after that? Who cares if you fall down or not? Who cares about any of the other stuff? We should, when we come to God, we should just be seeking after Him. Jesus, I want more of You. Jesus, I need Your presence. You know, why don't we just do that right now? You could just close your eyes, lift your hands. Jesus, I thank You that You fill them. I thank You that You fill them with Your presence. I thank You that You fill them, Holy Spirit, right now. Baptize them in Jesus' name. Full immersion, Jesus. Full immersion, Holy Spirit. And we go all in with You, God. Thank You, Jesus. I thank You that You fill every single vessel in this place from the top of their head to the soles of their feet, that they get everything that they need from You in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. All of us, as with unveiled face, because we continue to behold in the Word of God, as in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are constantly being transfigured into His very own image in ever-increasing splendor from one degree of glory to another. That's what we're supposed to be doing here this morning. We're supposed to be being transfigured, transformed from one degree of glory to another, from one degree of glory, from one degree of His image into the next. We're to be becoming more and more like Him. We're to be shining and shining brighter, shining brighter, shining brighter. Why? Because we're so full. Because we've gone up. We've ascended the hill of Mount Zion where the presence of God is. Because we are the church. Because we don't have to wait anymore. We don't have to tarry. But because Jesus, He went to Calvary's cross. He died and He went to heaven. And he sent us the Holy Spirit. And he said, it's to our advantage if you go away. We can receive right now. Right now. In Jesus' name. The Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. 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 So Matthew chapter 3 and verse 11 says, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will baptize you in the Holy Spirit and fire. Now what if we change the word baptize into immerse? Because that's actually what the word is. I indeed immerse you with water unto repentance, but he who is coming after me is mightier than I, whose sandals I am not worthy to carry. He will immerse you with the Holy Spirit and fire. He will immerse you with the Holy Spirit and fire. I promise you, once you've been immersed in the Holy Spirit and fire, you can't stay quiet about it any longer. You become very different. Your life becomes changed. Your perspective changes. Maybe the reason people aren't pulling ahead like they should is because they've been too focused on the natural, too focused on what they can see, taste, touch, feel, on what they can know, on what they can study, and not on what the Word of God tells us, and not on faith, and not on what we can believe Him for, and not on what the Holy Spirit is leading us to do. Hallelujah. 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 Well, someone might say, well, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit for a long time. And so that's great, Jeremiah, that you're all excited about it. But, I mean, I've had that for years. In Acts chapter 4, this is after the day of Pentecost, in verse 23, it says, and being let go, they went to their own companions, reported all that the chief priests and elders had said to them. So when they heard that, they raised their voice to God with one accord and said, Lord, you are God, who made heaven and earth and the sea and all that is in them, who by the mouth of your servant David have said, why did the nations rage and why did people plot vain things? The kings of the earth took their stand, and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his Christ. For truly your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed, both Herod and Pontius Pilate, with the Gentiles of the people of Israel, were gathered together to do whatever your hand and your purpose determined before to be done. Now, Lord, look on their threats and grant to your servants that with all boldness they may speak your word, by stretching out your hand to heal, and that signs and wonders may be done through the name of your holy servant Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and spoke the word of God with boldness. You see, the word and the Spirit go hand in hand. You see, these guys had all already been filled. We're talking about the apostles here, James and John, or Peter and John. They were the ones that went to the Gate Beautiful, and this is the one that caused all this fuss, and they got all this persecution. And here, when they all assembled together, who do you think they were assembling with? With the other apostles, with the other members of the early church. They assembled all together, and as they prayed, what did they pray for? They wanted boldness to go out and proclaim the word of God even more in the face of persecution. They weren't praying for the trees to be saved. They weren't praying for the postmen. They weren't praying some powerless prayer, meaningless prayer. They were praying for power to preach the gospel. And when they had prayed, the place where they were assembled was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to preach the word with great boldness. And that's what happens when the Holy Spirit comes, when he comes and he fills you, and you become so full of the Holy Spirit and power and his boldness comes upon you that you don't even recognize yourself anymore. I used to be so timid and so shy, but now the power of the Holy Spirit has come upon me that I am boldly going to declare the power and the presence of God and the gospel, the word of Jesus, the word of God. I'm going to declare it, and I don't care who or what anybody else, I don't care what society, I don't care what my boss, I don't care what anybody thinks about me, I'm going to declare the word of God with great boldness. And when you do, what happens? Signs and wonders. They follow the preaching and the proclaiming of God's word. Father God, I thank you that here today, as your word has gone forth, as it's hammered into the hearts, as it divides asunder between joints and marrow, soul and spirit, I thank you that each and every single one of us are being edified here in our spirit, man, being built up, being stirred up, that we're seeking you more, that we want to go out and preach your word with great boldness. I thank you, Lord, that you fill us up, filled to overflowing with the power of your Holy Spirit so that we can go forth and proclaim your word with great boldness, and that signs and wonders will follow the preaching of your word so that this region, so that this land, so that this country, so that this world will be shaken in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth. I thank you for a radical group of believers here today, filled up with the power and the word of God, that we'll go out and proclaim your power, your word, and we'll demonstrate the word of God in great power through the preaching of your word, through the demonstration of your spirit, through the gifts of the spirit. I thank you, Holy Spirit, that we're working together with you, that we are your house, God, that we are your field, that we are your servants, that we are your children, that we're working with you, that we're laboring together with you to bring in the end time harvest, to share the gospel with as many people as we can, to bring in the finances that we need. Lord, whatever it is, Lord, I thank you that you stir us up by your Holy Spirit to do what we've been called to do so that we can proclaim your word and see a great move of God, a great move of God in this church, in this town, in this county, in this state. Father God, I thank you that you move in a powerful way as we seek you, as we stir ourselves up on the word of God. In Jesus' mighty name. And if you believe it, say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, God. Thank you, Father. Father, you're so good. We love you, Lord. We're so good, grateful for your goodness. Father, I thank you that as this word has gone forth and settled into our hearts, Lord, I thank you that even as we go from here today, throughout this week, throughout this month, throughout this year, Father, I pray that we would seek you as we've never sought you before, that we would contend for your presence, that we would dig into your word, that we would become rooted and grounded in your word and in your spirit. I thank you, Father, that you're sending your son Jesus to return back for a spotless bride, a glorious church without spot or blemish, but a church that has been washed in the water of your word, demonstrating the power of your spirit in Jesus' name. And I thank you that you continue to minister to each and every single one of us as we go from here today, stirred up to seek you, stirred up to pray, stirred up to study the word of God in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you that anyone that's here this morning that has never received the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues, that when they ask you for it, Father, just as your word says, and you're true to your word, that you would confirm your word and that you would give them the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues in Jesus' name. And if you believe it, say amen.
Thanks for listening to this message from the River Church. We hope you stay connected with us online at riverrochester.com.